incredible job for you. Look, we have the very best in the world. I took a little nap yesterday with a little Al Ann on an engineer sleep bed, and I'm just reminded to tell you this. Our engineer sleep bed was one of the best decisions we've ever made. There's a family member of mine who made a mistake and bought one of the big ones. Did I see where one of the major mattress firms is in like $50 million or $50 billion, whatever, in debt, and they're going bankrupt, filing bankruptcy? Oh, yeah. Well, that's what happens when you overcharge way too many, too much for those. Engineer Sleep is thriving right now. How and why? The best mattresses at the best prices as well. Stop by 333 North Pleasant Bridge Drive. You're going to absolutely love that at Engineered Sleep and engineeredsleep.com. Busy hour this hour. We've got open phone lines now and open phone lines at 745. Dr. Martin joins us at 725. Texas wants to know top five French fries, please. We'll do that at some point in time. I will take everybody's input in that and make a top five of the French fries list. We'll do that a little bit later on. Texture makes a good point about loose change in Clemson. Having a great one there for sure. Get the sneeze out of the way. All right. Hey, Mr. Bunny's back to being a bad guy again. So Mr. Bunny he hates us again. And meanwhile, other people saying, hey, great job, Drake. Love Drake. Keep it up. 4082. Love it. Drake should read. Read all the ads from now on. Very authentic there. Texture 4834. Go Drake. Look out, Mickey. He'll be taking a job soon. So getting a lot of fan base on that. And then Mr. Bunny just goes off on us again, and now I'm the bad guy again. So it's like a good Keanu. It's like a good movie arc here, right? Like,
oh man, Mr.
It's like a three act Shakespearean play here.
Mr. Bunny's back at it again.
Mr. Bunny, he's back at it. I'm a bad guy again. He tried to play good cop, and it didn't work. Now he's back to bad cop again. Now
he can't make up his mind.
No, he can. He tried to play nice, and then it. He showed himself who he is again. So anyway, through all that, how you been? Hadn't seen you lately. Everything good?
I'm good. I'm good.
Awesome. Life good. You you watching World Cup? You watching College World Series? What are you watching more of those two?
I've seen more of the World Cup than I have of the College World Series. I will say that.
Did you go into the World Cup thinking you're going to watch more of it?
No, not really, because I'm not a huge soccer fan.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll get into it. I can watch it. I can watch it this year. That's fine.
Do you normally watch the College World Series?
Not particularly. I'm getting into baseball. Yeah. You know, as a child, I wasn't really introduced to baseball, so now I have to get up to speed, get on the level of everybody else.
And you know, part of it's working at the station, because I watch sporting events I would never watch because of the station.
Exactly.
I told you before, I would never think about watching the NBA.
Did you watch any of the finals?
Did you at least watch
the last game?
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama?
Yeah, Wembanyama and the Knicks. Speaking of mispronounced stuff, the Knicks, those were two different things that caught my attention a little bit. But I wouldn't normally watch it. But the show, because I watch the NFL, I wouldn't watch the NFL.
I can understand that. I'd rather watch the NBA rather than the NFL.
Really?
Yeah.
My thing is, with kids now, I tell my wife all the time, like, especially when you had Thursday night football from college.
Yeah.
And now Friday night football. Like, she's a single parent on Saturday. Like, man, from 10 in the morning or 11 in the morning, watch the last hour of the two preview shows, whatever, until after midnight, she's a single mom.
Well, see, on Saturday, you either have, on the weekend, you have to either pick Sunday or Saturday.
Right.
And I'd much rather pick Saturday than Sunday.
Right. Right, and we're almost going to feel bad is here now. I told you we got two Sundays because of NIL and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, with that being said, I don't watch the NFL because, A, I try to be a family man on Sundays.
I understand that.
But, B, I'm footballed out, man. I mean, this is in the good old days when they had a good Thursday night college game.
Yeah.
And a good Friday night college game or a good high school game. I do those, like, for years, too. Like, I do high school football. And then on Saturday all day. By the time Sunday, man, I'm sick of it. I don't watch Monday night football.
Well, I feel like there's more college football on Saturdays than there is NFL on Sundays anyway. Yeah. But you're watching almost every game of college football. On Sunday, you're not watching every game of the NFL. You're sticking to that one team that you like, and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. So you got that. Oh, by the way, 4709 says, Mickey, all superheroes need a villain. Yes, yes. Back to the Village.
Mr. Bunny.
You like that guy, huh?
Yeah. He's great, man.
Yeah. Texas said, I got my wife playing fantasy football. Within a month, she's asking if we can get Sunday ticket, LOL. Maybe that's the key. Maybe you do it as a family.
Whoa. Sunday ticket is very expensive.
It is.
And it's very niche, too.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I'd much rather just figure out the stats than pay for Sunday ticket. I mean, maybe that's a hot take. I don't know.
Yeah. I Sunday ticket, what are we talking about? Sunday, how much are we talking about?
You don't know what Sunday ticket
is? Yeah, I know what it is. I'm saying $250.
I'd have to look it up. I just know I almost paid for it one time. Yeah. And then I looked at my bank account and said, this is not going to be my future.
No. Yeah, absolutely. There. Hey, on that artist thing, so like Lake Murray Michael sends me a picture of The Last Supper. I guess he took with his camera. Like, he didn't send me the original. Like, I mean, he went and saw it. And then I get people saying, Tiger Harley said, my son sent me a picture of the Mona Lisa yesterday that he's overlooking at the Mona Lisa right now. Isn't that in the Louvre? Is that where it is now? Still there? Man, Avery knows everything.
You're
over here.
The wrong
Avery's my all everything guy, including, I didn't know, like, you know, Dr. Martin, you know, Dr. Reeves and all those guys too. We got to get you whole segments on this show doing all this stuff. Texas said, Mickey, you need to listen to I Show Speed 2026 World Cup song. That's the ones on fire. No, it's not. I listened to it. Not good. I Show Speed's worth $35 million with 0 ounce. There's not a single cell in his body that has any talent.
Let me ask you something.
The guy's worth $35 million.
Do you know what streaming is?
Yes.
You know what streaming is?
Yes.
It's basically TV entertainment. That's what he does. He's basically an actor on YouTube. Well, I guess it's
But
YouTube
what's interesting? What is there? Does that like an idiot?
The point is he does stupid stuff to gain people's attention.
Okay.
Attention.
You know what I call that? He's an idiot.
Well,
I'm not going to pay him $35 million to be an idiot.
Well, you're not paying him $35 million.
Look, I got enough idiots around me all day, every day. I got clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle again.
I mean, but it's a great way to make money, though. And he's not the only one.
That's crazy. You could be a no-talent hack and be worth $50 million now.
It's a capitalist country. You have to make money
I'm happy for him. But like, there's so many talented people who don't make money.
Well, that's very true. You have to do I guess you have to do something stupid online to gain attention.
There is this Chris Rock thing that says that we used to be addicted to things. We've been addicted to chemicals. We've been addicted to all kinds of stuff. Anyway, now the addiction is attention.
That's very true.
We used to. You know, the Beatles sang the song, all we need is love. Now it's all we need are likes. You know, like my Instagram photo, like this, like my video, like my. So now it's all we need is likes because we are addicted to attention. And, by the way, there's a bunch of different ways to get attention. You could be like Lionel Messi and be elite. You could be infamous, do something stupid, and go, you know, go fly a drone into something or drop a bomb or go shoot people, whatever. You do that.
I mean,
you just be an idiot.
How many people are in the world? What is it, 8 billion now?
Yeah.
I guess you have to do something unique.
You gotta,
to stand out.
Yeah. Ben in Charleston says, just saw the Sistine Chapel 2 weeks ago. Most single impressive thing I've ever seen, and the painting wasn't even the best of all. Man, we got some pretty doggone cultured listeners this morning.
Very
I'm getting
cultured.
Pictures. People are sending me of the Mona Lisa that they've been to, and the Sistine Chapel they've been to, and the Last Supper they've been to. Like, come on, man! Not even the Last Supper. The picture, the Last Supper. They weren't at the Last Supper.
I would hope not. I mean,
yeah. And I agree with this.
A lot of years being lived.
6573 makes a good point. The Mona Lisa is the most underwhelming thing I've ever seen in person. I've not seen it in person, but I get it, man. I get it. Mr. Auditor gets in. I don't watch it either, but I think by definition, if you're doing something that someone enjoys watching, you're talented. No, I don't think that's the definition of talent.
Let me give you an example of stupidity and what he does. He put a bunch of fireworks in his room. And he lit a match inside the building and blew all the fireworks. And him and his friends, him and other streamers, they have firework wars. They shoot Roman candles at each other.
Well, that said, though, that's not talent.
No.
So Mr. Alder is not right. He says if you're watching something and someone enjoys, you're talented. No, that's not talent. Because we're laughing at him, not laughing with him.
I will say it's very creative.
Well, I mean, is it? I can think of it. I'm not a big enough idiot to do it.
Well, I guess that's why he gains people's attention. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. Let me mention this before we get to Dr. Martin. Clemson with a pitcher yesterday. The Tigers get a Mac pitcher. It is – I like the guys that have two last names, but Jackson Miller, which we could very easily at some point in time of the year call him Miller Jackson. But Jackson Miller announces commitment to Clemson. Rising sophomore. He had a really good freshman season there with 48 strikeouts and 14 appearances. In 44 and two-thirds innings, he had 48 strikeouts with Bowling Green. And so now left-handed young guy. Clemson either goes for the graduate guy. The guy's already graduated because you got to take your last 40 hours, I think, here to graduate. Or you go with the young guy like this cat. And so now he is their – think about saying this. He's their seventh of the transfer portal guys coming to Clemson. So you got third baseman Troy Sudbrook from Toledo, catcher outfielder Bennett Edwards from Georgia Southern, shortstop Isaac Incinelli from St. John's River State College, junior college, right-handed pitcher Landon White, and outfielder Jamie Daly from Davidson. Well, Landon White from Bryant, by the way, and then Jamie Daly from Davidson. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's the sixth Clemson Tiger to come to the transfer portal. Clemson still needing more, man. So I guess you've got the third base is taken care of. I still think you might need full-time catcher to take care of. Shortstop looks like it's taken care of. So let's go catcher still, maybe an outfielder, maybe a corner outfielder.
Okay.
And then maybe some more pitching. To be honest with you, I want to see more. More.
You think they could get any other good players out of the portal like that?
Oh, yeah. There's guys still entering the portal now.
Okay.
Yeah. We're still kind of like in the fairly early stages of that. So, I don't know. This is different. I'm maybe halfway through the portal.
Okay.
So, people are now – because people are still entering. You know, the Omaha guys are still entering and all that. And I have to – well, I'll find out when the portal closes and all.
What do you think they're paying these players that are coming in?
Depends. I'd say the range is anywhere from nothing to some of the guys getting 100.
100,000?
Yeah.
So
I would say Nate Savoy got six figures.
That's a very drastic difference from, well, obviously Clemson football. I mean, that's completely different money.
In Clemson football, if you can walk and chew gum, you'll get 80,000. Seriously. Ian Sheflin, who never played a down in football in his life, got like a 90 or something. Like, what?
Dude, I had in one of my classes, I had two guys. They were like third string, maybe fourth string.
Yeah.
And they're driving 2025 Toyota Camrys and stuff like that. I mean, can I ride the bench and get
what did Sheflin get pulled over in? What was that car he had? Didn't he have him a 100 grand car?
I don't know. I'm not too sure.
It's a Corvette? Purple Corvette? First of all, if you're driving a purple Corvette, you're a target right there off the bat. Like, you're going to see that one. But I thought he had something bigger than that. Maybe some, and basketball makes more than that now.
Really?
Per player. Yeah. Basketball, those guys are making bank. By the way, college athletes through all that. Anyway.
It is a business.
And Clemson football right now, the high school guys are getting it.
Man.
So, and you'll see more of that. I mean, you're talking about some of the high school guys are getting – $1 million, $500,000.
What would I do with $500,000 at 18? What could I? What would you do? Maybe?
Well, now
back
look.
Back when were you?
How old are you now?
22.
All right. At 22, you're way more equipped to handle it. But if I gave you $500,000 at 18, mm-hmm. I didn't know you at 18. By the way, I respect you, and I think you're doing a great job. Now, I think at 22, you could handle it.
At 18, I'm gonna tell you right now,
knucklehead.
I would have blown it.
Knucklehead.
Blown it.
It wouldn't have been good.
It wouldn't have been good.
Yeah.
The money would have left quicker than my account than it hit my account. Let's say that.
Yeah. But at 22, you feel like now, you'd invest it.
Well, I know a lot more with like savings accounts and such as that and like investing too. I'm thinking about retirement now. I'm 22 and I'm thinking about retiring. I'm going to retire at the age of 40.
Let me tell you, man, there is an unbelievable statistic out there that says if you just – whatever you put away at 22 and how much more – if you waited at 32 to put it away, how much more you got to put away to get to that number? I'll get you that in the third segment. Like, that will open your eyes, man.
My TikTok right now is nothing but retirement and saving money.
That's it.
That's all I'm about. I'm penny pinching. 2026.
Good for you, man.
Penny
Good
pinching.
Good for you. Well, you won't be 58 and still working then, like me. My dad told me that many years ago. He says, hey, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And I didn't do it. Now I'm doing it. Now we're aggressive in doing it, but, man, we're playing catch-up. So you see a little seven-year-old back there in the back? We're playing catch-up, man. I got to pay for college. I got to do all that, right?
You don't want to be paying catch-up.
No. Don't want to be doing that at all. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to ask about the Puslik injury on the World Cup team, and he'll correct my pronunciation of the guy's name. And then ask about Spencer Strider's elbow, because there's two big injuries in our two major sports, or two of our major sports going on right now. Dr. Steve Martin will answer that after a very short top of the hour. After a very short break now.
With the Roar app, whenever your Clemson Tigers are playing, touchdown! The game is streaming live from anywhere in the world. Your Tigers. Your Tigers. Your flagship station. Your app. Oh! Download it today. From the locker room to your living room.
A lot of guys don't play good.
Sports talk is on the Roar.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate. You get the dealer discount. You get every available discount. Military, college grad, subprime credit. If there's a discount you qualify for, we'll find it and give it to you. That's how Lake Kiwi guarantees you get the best price. And that's why if you buy somewhere else, you're gonna pay too much. So come see us. We're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson, and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com.
See dealer for details.
It's true. Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford offer transparent pricing to everyone, meaning you get every discount. And right now, discounts are huge. Both dealerships are having a kicking off summer sale. Save up to $15,000 on new F-150.
And done night.
And come then, on.
And, but we're going to go hang out and tailgate for Ella night. Just because I can hear outside the stadium. I'm not paying that much money to do two nights in a row of all this stuff. Anyway, looking forward to that. Hey, my great friend Best Buy Metals. This is a company that I learned so much about. I didn't know they had. I thought, like, metal roofing, there's one kind of metal roof. No. There's about 15 kinds of metal roofs, including metal shingles and the different kinds of metal roofs. You need to contact someone and go over how this all works. Low maintenance, lifetime warranty. We love it. It's our great friends at Best Buy Metals, Best Buy Metal Roofing in Greenville. Now, go ask your contractor about it. Ask your remodeler about it. Let's add a new roof to your home. And talk about that low cost of this, low maintenance cost of this. Neighbors of ours have done this now. You're going to love your brand new metal roof or brand new metal shingles as well. Check them out. Best Buy Metal Roofing right there off of Wade Hampton Boulevard. To our guest lines, segment brought to our good friends over at Arthrex and the head orthopedic surgeon for Clemson University Athletics, Blue Ridge Orthopedics, and Prisma Health, Dr. Steve Martin and my good friend. Dr. Martin, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I know you are. We've got an intern, Avery, who works with the football team that speaks very highly of you and Dr. Reeves. So us learned doctors are talking this morning.
There you go.
I am interested in a couple of injuries. And I've been mispronouncing his name all day long because I'm not a soccer guy. I'm not a Manchester United fan since he doesn't play for us. Pulisic. Did I say it right? Christian Pulisic?
That's very close.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Calf injury. A guy who's having I'm watching now some individual workouts. Me being the calf aficionado around here with my calves that the good Lord granted me with. Tell me about calf injuries, things we look for calf injuries, long-lasting, and maybe what the U.S. soccer fans are paying attention to with one of this superstar's calves.
So just a couple things along those lines. It's interesting that the occasional fans of soccer get discouraged by some of the antics that they see after an injury. But what happens, what they don't realize is that these players are playing with metal tip studs on their cleats. In soccer, you call them boots. But is they're metal tipped. And if you've ever been stepped on or kicked, especially studs up or whatever, you know, you that's why a studs up tackle, it can be an automatic red card because it's so dangerous. It's a 10 out of 10 pain for 2 to 3 minutes. It calms down and then you can get up, but it really, really hurts. And so when we look at muscle injuries, as in Christian Pulisic's situation, most of our muscle injuries are what we call indirect, which means you've stretched them. So a hamstring or even a calf stretch injury. You see when somebody ruptures an Achilles, that's a stretch injury. That's an indirect injury where the muscle is being pulled. The other type of muscle injury is a direct blow injury. And that would be, you know, you've all been hit and you've had a bruise on your skin. Well, if you get a very deep hit, like a sledgehammer hitting you in the calf or in the thigh, that's the most common when you get kneed in the thigh muscle or the quadriceps muscle. It causes a direct injury to the muscle, and the muscle bruises and it bleeds into the muscle tissue. And blood, although it sets up a healing process, it also sets up an inflammatory process, and you get swelling, tightness, and pain. And so, you know, soccer, you know, he's a winger type that requires agility and very high speed accelerations and decelerations for him to be effective with his game. And so if you have tightness in one of your calf muscles, that can affect your game. But I'm pretty confident that we'll see him in our game Friday night. You know, I think they were precautionary, pulling him out early so he didn't do additional injury in that game. And I think he's been rehabbing. And, you know, I haven't heard any direct information, obviously. But I think we'll see him Friday night.
Calves, stretching, I do it all the time. Curbs, I wear curbs out, Doc. Like any curb I see, I'm pumping gas, I'm stretching my calves. During the break here, we got a little step up, a little riser here that I step up on. Stretch my calves all day long. Is that good? Is there any opposite? Because I know with hamstrings you stretch one way, with quads you stretch another one. We're not going to stretch our tibia or fibia, I don't think. But just as far as prevention and I know strengthening, but is stretching a great thing? Anything else we could do to help the calves?
Right. In other words, one of the things that inflammation and that bruising into the muscle causes is it causes the muscle to tighten up, and then it shortens. So, you know, it has an excursion length, just like if you took a rubber band and stretched it all the way as far as it could go. The muscle has a maximum length and a shortened length, and you have to get that maximum, you have to get that length back as part of the recovery and rehabilitation. So your stretch that you do up on the curb is getting that length back to that gastrocnemius soleus Achilles tendon complex.
All right, so I think I misthought about my calves for a long time. The soreness, when I get out my Theragun thing and got some soreness in my calves, they're pretty sore. But right below my calf, very high up, I thought that was like more of a soleus deal, but it's really right behind my calf there. The Achilles tendon, is that what I'm feeling, that high up? Because I always thought the Achilles tendon was fairly low, but can we still call that the Achilles tendon that high up on up into the calf?
So what you have is just from a muscle anatomy standpoint, the attachment to the bone is the tendon. Think of that like the rope, pure rope, no
right.
muscle tissue. Just,
right.
So you have a tendon. Then you have a myotendinous junction where it's half tendon, half muscle. Then you have muscle. Then you have myotendinous junction. Then you have tendon at the other end, right? And so what you're talking about is a myotendinous junction, very high Achilles, where it's half muscle, where the soleus is still muscle, and the gastroc is starting to become tendon. And to be honest with you, that's where most of our muscle tendon injuries occur in these elite athletes, is at that myotendinous junction.
Well, when you mention elite athletes, I perk up. So, yes, that is true. All right.
You're in that category.
Sure.
You're in that category, Mickey.
Sure. Of course we are. Everybody knows that, Doc. You don't have to go to med school to understand that, Doc. All right. all right. Now, Spencer Strider, a setback. I want to ask you about because now I know he's had Tommy John before, and now this is the second, third time. We talked about with ACLs. About there is a cumulative effect, or any kind of surgery, not any kind, but a lot of surgeries, there's a cumulative effect. They're going to shut him down for a little bit, but another elbow situation. What cause of concern would you have for someone, a patient that came in and had Tommy John once and is having recurring stuff? Is it a cumulative effect through all that? Kind of walk us through maybe some of the things to look for with the Strider elbow situation.
Well, I think, you know, we've had some discussions about pitchers and the velocity that they're creating, and the basically the equivalent that I would give you is in your car. You know, you have your revolutions per minute, and they're redlining their shoulder and elbow every time they throw. You know, they're maximally stressing their shoulder and elbow to create those velocities that we see pushing that 100 or even above 100 now miles an hour. And so there's just a fine line. And I think the wear on the shoulder and elbow, and as they start to create it, they'll start to compensate. In his case, you see that he had some shoulder and elbow pain, which in some ways that's reassuring. That means it wasn't just localized to the elbow. And they got some scans, and the repair, the Tommy John repair and the Tommy John ligament were intact, but he had a lot of inflammation there, so they're shutting him down for 4 weeks. But I would still be, you know, precautionary because they bring him back so slow with pitching because it's just such a fine line. You know, you've got to be 100% shoulder and elbow to create those velocities. How many athletes do we have that play at 100%? You know, almost nil. So I think that's a concern. But at least the initial reports, the ligament repair with the Tommy John, and then he had a internal brace applied, which may have protected him here, but he's still having inflammation, and that's why they're shutting him down.
Well, that said, Doc, when I watch pictures, and it's almost disgusting to look at, the torque or whatever that is, man, that elbow's coming up. What am I seeing when I see in those pictures of Major League pitchers and these – like disgusting looking pictures of elbows in action during the middle of a pitch?
Yeah, you know, I encourage the listeners to just, you know, we search everything these days, but search some images of what we call the late cocking phase of a major league pitcher, and look at the position that the elbow is in and how far back, and then try to reproduce that with your elbow, and you won't even get close. You know, some of this is their shoulders and the anatomy of their shoulders and elbow have adapted since they were, you know, their skeleton, their bones were growing back when they were, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old. And that's another whole issue. But so they have adaptive changes. So they're not normal at this point. But that being said, those images are just like you said, they're pretty grotesque.
Yeah, I don't want to see – if that's what's going on outside, I don't want to see inside like you have to see all the time there. I love this. We've talked about this in the past, but Lake Murray Michael brings it up with the soccer and the World Cup taking precedence and center stage here. So, Mickey, can you ask him about the magic spray we see on the soccer field? And where do you get it? What is it? What is it good for? The happy sauce, man, the magic spray comes out and saves people's lives on the soccer pitch.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing magic about it. It's just a very cold spray. So it creates, you know, basically putting spray ice on, you know. And what's happening is back to that, you know, your foot's been stepped on, your ankle's been stepped on, and you have that intense pain. And we're kind of just distracting the brain. In other words, if you hurt your right elbow and then I took a hammer and hit your left thumb, you're going to forget about your right elbow. And so it's just a distraction technique that takes away some of that intense pain. It's not going to take care of any real injury. You know, if you have a significant structural injury to the ankle, the foot, or the leg, the quote magic spray is not going to do anything. But if you've just been stepped on with those metal studs that we talked about, and we can distract the brain, you know, that's all that's happening out there.
I had said in the past here on the show and joked, you know, it took Jesus 3 days to come back from the dead, and some of these soccer guys, like, they're dead. They spray the sauce. Is it a red card? No, it's not a red card. Okay, I'm fine. I'm living. I was dead, but I came back. The happy sauce, man, the happy spray does a good job there.
You know, they have done a good job. If anybody that's watching this World Cup, the referees have done an exceptionally good job with that in this World Cup. For one, if the trainers come out, that player has to stay out for a full minute. Yeah. So it's almost like in hockey where you have to go into the penalty box. They can't come right back on. And so it's going to lessen some of this. I know people don't like that part of the game. You know, there's an art to it in terms of drawing a foul and making it look like a foul. And some of that is part of the game, and those of us that watch a lot of it, you know, that's okay. But in this World Cup, if the trainers come out, the player has to stay out a full minute. And that's impactful because now you're down a man for a full whole minute. You know, it's almost like a power play in hockey.
Well, in this level, they've got cameras. So, you know, if you don't have cameras on you, you know, some of the fake cameras, that's just embarrassing. Like, I wouldn't let you lose your man card if you flop like that.
You can get a yellow card. You can get a yellow card for a flop now. And they're calling it in this World Cup. So they're doing a good job.
Hey, final one for you. This is a great question here. And I want to sneak this one in here from 4709. You don't see it very often. The pitchers with sidearm throwers and the knuckle dragger guys out there, the guys that come from the sidearm, is that less pressure on the shoulder and elbows? We don't hear about those guys having surgery quite as much. Maybe there's not as many of them. But is that just less torque, less pressure on that elbow if you're coming from the side maybe and shoulder maybe coming that way?
So you're always – that's a great question because the shoulder and elbow are linked. And when you make changes at the elbow to lessen the stress on the elbow, you're going to put more stress on the shoulder and vice versa, right? So if you're more of an overhead pitcher, you're going to put more stress on the elbow. If you're a sidearm pitcher, you're going to put more stress on the shoulder. And so you're robbing from one area to pay another area. And so those are linked. And so when they do the video analysis of the throwing and how they adapt, they're looking at that whole kinetic chain, which starts with, you know, creating, you know, the torque and the power back in your core, down in your hips and abdomen area and your obliques. So they're creating that torque down there, how they land on their foot. You know, if they land a little bit to the left, a little bit more to the right, that's going to put more stress on certain areas. And so it's not just the elbow. You got to look at the whole mechanism.
As you always do, I learned something. I enjoy it. Can't wait to do it again next week. And hopefully, you and I will be spending a whole show together at some point in time. We might talk about that later. Hey, I'm glad you're doing well, Doc. And I'm glad you're enjoying the World Cup. And I can't wait to visit with you next week.
Absolutely. Take care, Mickey.
My good friend, Dr. Steve Martin. That is the head orthopedic surgeon at Clemson University Athletics with Prisma Health and with Blue Ridge Orthopedics. Dr. Steve Martin, brought to you by our great friends Arthrex. Arthrex does an incredible job when it comes to orthopedia.com. I had Shane wants to know about soreness in left knee. Shane didn't get to the question there, but I can tell you, just go to orthopedia.com. Orthopedia.com. With that being said, if you want jobs, we're going to be doing something from right here in Pendleton and Anderson area about a great place to work. We'll be there, and it's a great company. Ashby, did you say you have someone, some friends of yours or somebody that you know maybe? Working at Arthrex? Is that not you?
My best friend just got a job at Arthrex in Savannah.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So think about our great friends at Arthrex. Arthrex.com, careers.arthrex.com, and orthopedia.com. We've got a huge show in July planned for you. It's going to be awesome with our great friends at Arthrex. All right, short break. Much more on the other side after this.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show? The best sports talk plays.
And The Edge. That's two of the members of the band. You know you're big if your name is just like your one name person, Bono, or if your name is The Edge.
I think even more when you get to a place where you feel like that's not cool enough, and then you start going by like the symbol or something like the Prince.
Yeah.
Like
artist formerly known as.
Exactly. I would like to be known as the artist formerly known as Ashby. Thank you so much for your consideration.
With a little symbol in there. We can do that. I can take care of that for you.
I just want the West Virginia baseball logo as my symbol. That's my name.
I've come full circle in this thing. You were right to begin with. That's just a W and a V. I thought it was a W, V, and an M.
There's an M in there.
You can find one, but I don't think that's the original. I think it's a great big W and a great big V. I think I'm right by saying that.
It is, but...
You think there's an M in there, too?
There's an M, too.
Because it's WVU. There is no U in there. They're known as WVU as well. And West Virginia Mountaineers, maybe that's just part of, you know, like the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
That's an M and a B, but it's a baseball glove. You knew that right, by the way.
Let me go look this up, too.
Milwaukee Brewers. Do Milwaukee Brewers logo. It's an M and a B for Milwaukee Brewers, but the MB form a baseball glove.
I did know that.
That's great. All right. With that said,
that makes sense.
Maybe it's the W and the V, but they threw the M in there, kind of a, you know,
kind of. It's like a Where's Waldo situation.
It's a very good point.
I don't hate it.
I like the pinstripes and I like the gray jerseys. I tell you, man, I've done this forever. I'm gonna get in trouble now. Let me save getting in trouble for 1 minute from now. Trail, T-R-E-H-E-L.com, 800-319-7006. My great friends at Trail. They did an incredible job. Trail is amazing. They are awesome at what they do. They're best builders, commercial builders in the upstate of South Carolina, Western North Carolina. Trail is a company I believe in. They're the first to talk to me about brand scripting. It's the first company I learned about culture from. I didn't know what culture inside of a company was until about 18 years ago, started working with Trail. Trail tailored homes. They do a great job. And then quickly, Ashby, I'll mention this for you too. Commercial, faith-based, industrial, multifamily, healthcare, education, municipality, adaptive reuse, nonprofit.
Education.
Man, they love doing schools and for school districts. So Oconee County, Pickens County, let me give you just a partial list of schools and people they work for. Anderson University, Bob Jones, Dorman High School, Erskine College, Furman, Lawrence School District 55, McLeese Elementary School there, North Greenville University, Clemson University, Oconee County, Pickens County, like Seneca High School, Seneca Middle School, Southern SWU, Spartanburg Methodist, Tri-County Tech, USC Upstate. There's not a school district or a school around they hadn't done stuff for. Get in touch with them if you're on a school board and you're thinking about building. It's my great friends at Trail, T-R-E-H-E-L.com. All right. I said I was getting in trouble here with this one. What was I talking about? I'm about to get in trouble. Oh, I'm going crazy. I'm distracted for one reason. Avery is an intern at the station now. All right? Avery, we just found out, is an ice sculptor.
Avery.
Can you show, before we get into it, show Ashby the pictures of, and we can't show this online because of things. It's Augusta National, the trophy, and Berkman's place. So this is what his company does. I don't know if you can see this or not.
Oh.
When you do it for Augusta National, you know you're doing the best work. All right, and then the company's doing all that. First of all, dude, how in the world do you get into ice sculpting? And how do you know you're good at it? How do you get interested in it? Like, ice sculpting is a very interesting thing, but like, at what age? Give me the background on this whole deal.
This July will be 4 years I've been doing it. So I got into it. My dad owns a refrigerated trailer company called Cooler and Wheels. And the owner of the place I work for, Ice Age, rented from him. And I met him. He said, "Hey, man, you need a job?" I said, "Doing what?" He said, "Carving ice." I said, "All right, I'll do it." And I'm 4 years later, and here I am.
That's amazing. So weddings, events,
weddings, country clubs,
how
the whole
cool
nine
is this?
This is incredible.
You could do that big old swan, dude. You could do that the big swan you see at a wedding. Like that's easy. That's elementary for you.
Maybe not for me, but my owner, yeah. Absolutely.
You got it.
Yeah,
light work.
Can you do it?
I've done a couple. I did my own graduation party.
You did?
I made a wildcat head. Graduate right, from Woodland.
How long are we talking about? How long does it take?
For what size?
Let's say an average wedding. You got a big, you got a swan up there. Okay.
Day.
One day. One yeah. Full day. When, you take a block of ice the size of Texas, basically, and you start carving out of it. What instruments are you using to carve it with?
We have a CNC machine. You program in files and it runs.
Oh, see
what?
That?
Oh, wait.
Wait a minute, man.
Wait,
no,
wait,
see,
wait,
I thought
wait,
this is something. All you're doing is a program. This is AI.
No.
A CNC machine. You press a button and it does
Mickey,
it for
Mickey,
you.
Mickey.
No AI. No AI detected in this scenario. You got to actually, like, manually program the cutout pass.
So you're a computer programmer. You're not an ice sculptor.
Well, you take the pieces off the CNC deck and then you hand detail them. Or if
there is some skill involved then.
Yes. If okay. a person does right. order a 3D start to finish, then that's bring out your chainsaws and your chisels and you start tacking away.
Okay.
That so is so cool.
We're still doing that. We're not just pressing a button then.
No.
Whew.
It's a lot of manual labor still.
I was about to lose all respect and thinking like you're some sort of talent and then you're telling me you're hitting a button. But you're
No.
Okay. All right. I'll allow that. That's great, man. That's interesting, huh?
Man of many talents,
so
master
you,
of none.
So you, I mean, this sounds crazy to say, but like, it's cold.
Very cold. Like yeah, about 20 degrees. I'm working in.
Yeah, so you're bundled up. You're working inside a freezer to do it.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, how long have you been doing this?
4 years.
4 years this July.
Amazing. So cool.
Yeah, that's talent, man. That's talent. That's more talent than I show speed. Let me get Georgia Greg, who I'm sure is maybe dragging a little bit this morning. Did you stay up all night last night and watch this one, or stay up till late and watch this one, Georgia Gray?
I really have. And I'll tell you what, to me, you might agree with this, when you're watching your team and it's 1-0 or 2-1, it's a lot more nerve-wracking than a 11-9 game.
Yeah.
11-9, you know, it just seems like you're just waiting for the next score. It's 1-0, you're wondering, will anybody score, and just how critical the run is. It's just, and it's crazy how teams like Georgia, Oklahoma, and Texas have been in these Georgia games. I don't know if they're just the moments just overwhelmed the hitters, or all the pitching staffs, you know, aren't that great all of a sudden. So it's just been wild watching these Georgia games. It's been just nerve-wracking.
I'll tell you this. I didn't know. I knew Georgia could win 13-11. I didn't know Georgia could win 2-0. And I'm going to give them an awful lot of credit for that. Now, to be fair, the fences, everybody talks about the fences being a big part of it, and that is. I mean, the walls, the home run, it's just a lot longer. So I get that. But the other part, as far as the pitcher's ballpark is concerned, and we'll ask Caden, we'll get Caden on, Ashman asking about this too, pitcher's ballparks. There's so much foul territory. And so you see a lot of fly balls, a lot of foul balls that a lot of times would be, you know, in the stands, that they're actually caught and they're out. So that cuts down. Instead of getting 27 outs at Foley Field, man, you got to get about 21 outs or 20, you know, 3 or 4 outs there, because you do get a few little cheaper foul balls in there.
And I think the way they talk about the wind and the air is a little – it seems like Foley – and I think the vision I heard – you know, I don't know if it's as much about the depth at Foley Field as the fact that it's just – you know, you don't have a glare in Foley Field like you've seen it there. But Mickey is – like I said, it's these Georgia games. Like, you know, the other games are – you know, Texas is ripping up 14 points and 14 runs, and Oklahoma's hitting 12 here, and then Troy gets 12. But the Georgia game is just neither team just can get going. I mean, give credit to the pitching, I guess, but it's been really surprising. But I tell you, I don't know if our bats don't get going, you know, eventually we're going to – there's no way we can get through this thing. And although we beat Oklahoma twice, but – It's been fun to watch, but it has been nerve-wracking and late at night to watch it.
And late tonight, because you've got a 7 o'clock game tonight, so maybe it ends a little bit before that. And at some point in time, Georgia bats will come alive, and at some point in time, you're going to win a 13-12 game maybe. But at this point in time, the one worry about Georgia I would have is, like last night you had to pitch Bird. He threw 62 pitches and threw 5 innings, so he won't pitch tonight, I wouldn't think.
He is so good, yeah.
He's fantastic. But so then you got to come out of the loser's bracket. So you're going to play 4 straight nights in order to get to it. And so you got to win the next 2 and the bottom of the rotation and the bottom of the bullpen now. So this is where the bats – I think if Georgia got a chance, because Georgia's bats can come alive, but I think Georgia bats are going to have to do more than they did in the last couple of days.
You know, everything you say is right, but the weird thing is the announcers say, like, hey, if you look at Georgia's – who Georgia's used. Now, it depends on how deep their pitching staff is, but they've only used 4 pitchers in 3 games, which is amazing, really. So
So obviously, you know, your starter went 8 innings against Oklahoma, pitched great in that one, in that loss. And then last night you only used 2, so you used 3 there. Yeah, you only used 4 throughout all. So, yeah, it's a good point about the bullpen part of it. But still, those starters have gone a lot of innings too, so we'll see. I still think, let me see about today. So today, Georgia is minus 210 to win. I wonder if you parlayed it, like what you would get. Because I still think, man, this is hard to beat somebody 2 days in a row, and they only got to beat you once.
Right.
But I think Georgia, if I had to say it now, I'd say Georgia's favored to beat Oklahoma twice. They'll be favored tonight, obviously, favored tomorrow night, but as far as the favorite for, you know, to win both games, I think they can do it, though. But Oklahoma's playing well. You got to give them credit, too.
Yep.
All right. Well, good luck tonight. And if you win, you might play early tomorrow. If North Carolina loses, they might get the late game tomorrow. So you might actually have an afternoon rather than a night game. You might be able to go to bed at a decent amount of time, a decent hour, too. So, or if you don't, then you play tomorrow night, because there's only one game. If there's one game, it would be a night game. So you might be up 4 straight nights late night. So That add to you. But good luck to the Dogs.
That adds up.
Yep. Good stuff. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate the phone call.
All right. Take care.
Ashby, if I gave you this, I think it's clear to say North Carolina is minus 166 today. I think it's clear to say North Carolina is by far the definite favorite to A, win this next game, or B, at least win one of the next two. That's fair. That's easy.
For sure.
Would you say right now, if I could give you Oklahoma winning one or Georgia winning two, which would you take at this point?
It's the pitching issue. It really is. Because I feel better about Georgia's offense being able to, you know, run through Oklahoma if they get hot one day.
Yeah.
But if Oklahoma still has pitching depth and they have somebody that can run out there and hold him down again, you think Oklahoma's probably going to win one or two games, you know?
Yeah, I didn't realize it there that Georgia had a complete game in game one. I forgot about that one.
Yep.
So they've allowed one run there, and then they get Oklahoma game, that's a complete game. So no bullpen guys have been used up. Now, the starters have been going a lot.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket. From the start of the Mickey Filer Show to the end.